This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at the Jenkins World with KK.
Hello, I'm Kosuke. I'm the creator of the Jenkins project and CTO of Clavis.
This is the first day of the summit. At the moment, the Contributor Summit is taking place, and you've been doing an awful lot to invigorate that ecosystem and get people engaged. What are people saying in the summit at the moment?
The Contributor Summit like this is only a few times in a year occasions in which people who are normally working distributedly, remotely, can get together. And it's important because as an open source project, and with this extensible platform, we organize the social structure of the community so that they work on individual pockets of the features, they solve them well. That makes it difficult for us to collaborate well across those boundaries of plugins. And then so this is a unique opportunity to correct that. This past year, when I look back what's going on in the Jenkins community, there's actually a lot has been happening. Number of interesting projects, and I call them Big Five, and we're going to be talking about that. People who are driving these interesting efforts are here, they are presenting what they've done. What we are trying to do is to get the other contributors in the community thinking about, okay, so these are successful efforts, rallying around these efforts, how to make that happen. All of that is going on as we speak.
2 years ago, when we spoke, one of the challenges you faced was an awful lot of add-ons and plugins that had been abandoned. People had created them with well-meaning, but they'd either lost interest or they'd moved on to other things. The problem was you had customers who were using them. You needed to find a way to move those customers forward and either retire or replace some of those plugins. How has that gone over the period?
There's a lot of effort aiming at the different kind of time frame. In terms of the things that's been already done, for example, in a way it's very healthy for people to come in and go. That's lifeblood of the Jenkins project or any other open source project for that matter. You developed a program to recognize those. We call it Adopt a Plugin. If we saw that the maintainers need to step down, we don't want to shame them. We want to thank them for their stewardship. But we just want to put the label on the plugin saying, well, it's looking for the new people who are going to carry this forward. And then often people coming new, they don't really understand how the community operates and where they can get started. Having a program like this to advertise the fact that, hey, this is the area that you can own. You have a relative autonomy and then take the matter forward. I think that's been very useful in facilitating this generation change of the contributors. The pitch that I'm making right now is as a Jenkins community, we are trying to move past the mindset of just plugins. Mm-hmm. We should be thinking in terms of what the users need to do modern continuous integration, continuous delivery. And then as a community, we should be responsible for bringing together the necessary pieces. Most of those does exist in the form of plugins. It's just that the idea of a plugin is less something that the user cares about. So let's create something out of the pieces that we already have and then use that as a vehicle to collaborate better. Some of the efforts like Jenkins Evergreen, really excited about that because it pushes us into that direction.
If we look at the last year alone, you've launched new products. You now have a really solid cloud product. You've still got the on-premise server product. How are the contributors managing to split their time so that they get the best reward as well?
For the contributors, usually it's very easy. This big ecosystem of Jenkins community, people generally work on what excites them. So we have certain people who work in certain domains, like developing web applications, or they work for Clavis, and then they work on this more cloud-native focused area. And as you mentioned, we have a number of new efforts going, like Jenkins X, it's been creating a great traction. There is another effort called Configurations Code that's also very much represented by the cloud mindset. So those folks are driving this effort. And then there are other less sexy work of keeping things polished, fixing security vulnerabilities, all these work, that's also happening. This is a good example where I feel like different people can bring in different interests and skill sets and characteristics and then add to the greater cause.
You mentioned there things like security vulnerabilities and looking at code. One of the challenges that a lot of vendors find when they have an ecosystem is deciding whether they just allow people to write code and produce it, or whether they themselves add something to that code. And that can be to look at the code, review the code, say yes, it meets certain standards, without actually making that an intrusive process. How are you dealing with that?
The entire idea of automation and CI/CD in many ways is to help people raise the quality bar without feeling like an intrusive process. Just by the fact of us pushing this the CI/CD forward, I think we are automatically raising the bar for us in that regard. But it's also the ongoing challenge of critically rely on contributors being productive. The large number of them are not full-time or anything. They are just like working on one fix at a time and they move on, providing a great experience for those people for that first change that they propose, and then encouraging them to come back. I think it's an ongoing challenge for us.
One of the excitement of working within an open source ecosystem is people have very different views on things. But more importantly, from a vendor perspective, you can't do everything. How often do you reach out to the community and say, look, we're trying to do this, or we've got a gap for a tool that does that, and see what the community's got in order to boost the next version of the product?
When we try to land a punch, like we think of the community as putting more weight behind that punch, when we wave the flag and show the general ideas and the rough sketch of the code, we want to do this and this is how we mean, and in terms of the code, people who get that and then they can build around those. And we have technical means to enable that continue to be important factor for us. Lately, what we've been trying to do, for example, is to create a bit more clarity around how we can propose the change and then how that gets approved, or how do we collaborate between different people. So we launched a program like special interest groups that are recognized program in which people from different companies and background meet every month and then like try to drive a specific interest area forward. So those are providing more collaboration opportunity, I think, to make things better, faster, and then encourage people to join the existing efforts.
How does that play into recruitment? Again, one of the challenges, we're in an industry where skills are at a premium. Often, you rely on somebody's CV or word of mouth as to how good somebody is. With an ecosystem, you have an opportunity to see the code they've written, to understand what it is they really know and what they can contribute. When you look at your employment, do you bring in a lot of people from the community?
Two different topics to answer there. At Clubbies, we are no longer really actively trying to hire from the Jenkins community. If anything, we want to like expand the reach beyond that. Because whenever we hire from the Jenkins community, that's some contribution taken away from the community. Over time, I'm a little more worried about doing that. So we haven't been actively doing that for a while. And then there's this other aspect of how to find like a good contributors and then encourage them to take on more in just in the community context. If you think of them, the senior contributors in the Jenkins project as an employee of the Jenkins project, then we do want to encourage those good ones to stay around. An ecosystem like Jenkins, when good work happens, there's a reaction to the users. They naturally become popular, and then often those encouragement provides the developer to keep going. And then so it's easy to see which efforts are getting traction, which ones are not, because we hear about them.
When we look at where DevOps has begun to go, it's reaching outside of its traditional base of the IT department. It's touching on IT security. It's beginning to reach out into the wider business sense. How hard is it to find people who are able to help you write the integration into other products? Because while everybody has an API today, not every API is particularly well written or easy to work with.
I see a lot of companies who are working through this DevOps and continuous delivery transitions, and often I find a team of people in those organizations that task to move these things forward. They are operating within the context of their business and how they've been doing things. That's the critical drivers, like unsung heroes in every organization that's pushing this forward. And I feel like part of our mission at the Jenkins Project is to give them the arms and necessary tools in their toolbox to do that.
But what about them reaching into other products? So, for example, outside we might have, let's take stock control. There's a lot of ERP companies out there with stock control and other things where the actual way we do DevOps and we align processes works very well for them in different fields of the business. Are you beginning to find contributors writing an integration into, let's say, NetSuite or into Salesforce or into other products?
Salesforce and NetSuite, I haven't come across those. But on those topics, what I do think about is with Salesforce, the leadership of the sales organization, they can use the tools like Salesforce to see how their organization is behaving, where they need to leverage, they need to focus their efforts on, and then it's an invaluable tool to help organization running and also find out how to improve. Automation is at the cusp of doing something similar in the software development world as well. Traditionally, we think of the software development more as a craft And then the automation originally started as just a means of amplifying the effort of the developers. That's still obviously an important part, but as the automation become more widespread and there are a central team that's looking after these hundreds of thousands of developers doing things, and then there's all the automation producing lots of invaluable data about how that organization is behaving, then that could be really useful insight into where they need to take on the next project to make this more smooth. In a way, there's a surprising parallel that I discovered with how the sales org is behaving and how, in some way, like an engineering organization could be.
One of the challenges for organizations is that automation. It's understanding how to break down a complex problem into a set of very simple steps that have only a single input and a single output. And that's one of the things that works really well. And again, particularly on pipelines. Ironically, if we look at sales, we've always had sales pipelines. Do you see an opportunity here for DevOps to step out of IT and start to say, you know, we understand automation, we understand pipelines, we understand how to streamline and speed up business. Let us help you.
The general idea of automation, I think that is happening everywhere, even in sales. Sales is fundamentally more communication focused. So I don't see the act of sales people disappearing, but there are lots of, I'd imagine today's salespeople are a lot more harnessed by the automations, who they should talk to, etc. From that perspective, I don't know if the software development is actually advanced in the space of the automation that we can drag and then like go to other industry and say, you can also like adapt the same practice. This usable general idea of more automation, like a learning from the process by picking up the data from the process to discover where inefficiencies are, I think that's very widely understood in everywhere. From that perspective, you can have a lot of actually surprisingly productive conversation from people from different domains who face the similar challenges in their domains and how they go about doing that.
Earlier this year, I spoke to James Strachan about Jenkins X. He's a very bullish person about Jenkins X. Can you give us an update on where the project is? There's a big announcement due here at the show.
The Jenkins X is, I guess, the flavor of Jenkins that really focused on making Kubernetes microservice web application development easy. We launched it, I think, the beginning of this year, and then since then it's been getting incredible traction. And then this underlying Kubernetes ecosystem also moved very fast. What we've been doing for the past half a year is we've been constantly upping the game, using the feedback from the people to add more features, and then I think those are the ongoing work. And some of that got presented in the Contributor Summit. But I know James is doing the presentations in the coming few days. There's an amazing level of excitement about, in a way, so this Kubernetes being this like a seemingly unifying platform across multiple places and having the right level of abstractions allows this interesting integrations that take place in ways that actually simplifies, not complicates. Combined with the appetite for people to really, everyone is under business pressure to deliver software faster. So when those people look at this rapidly evolving technology landscape and then they see something well integrated that makes them easily productive, no wonder there's this large excitement about that.
Summit's barely begun, and I'm now going to ask you, what should we be looking for over the next 6 months?
What I'm really excited about is this. I mean, there are a number of other efforts in the Jenkins project, like Jenkins X, but others, that individually started on a different time frame. But now I think we are starting to see how to combine those to make a bigger impact for the users. Some of those are graduating from experiments or like, you know, the promising subsystem into more critical part of the Jenkins foundation. The next half a year, how those pieces fit together, it starts to become more clear. We hopefully start producing binaries. Those things, I'm convinced that they'll help people see Jenkins differently. It's not the same thing that they've been using for the past 2 or 3 years. There's something fundamentally different about Jenkins that's going on.
You can already feel some of the excitement walking around today. It sounds like it's going to be a really fun couple of days. Thank you for taking the time out to talk to us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been exciting.